ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 86 टाइटल्ड अर्जुन किडनैप्स सुभद्रा। विल कवर श्लोका नंबर 55-59 विच इज द लास्ट पार्ट द कंक्लूडिंग पार्ट ऑफ दिस चैप्टर। ऑन द बोर्ड इज श्लोका नंबर 55। काइंडली रिपीट। दुष्प्रज्ञा अविदित्वैवम् अवजानन्ति असूयवः गुरुं मां विप्रमात्मानम् अर्चादाव इज्जदृष्टयः। दुष्प्रज्ञा अविदित्वैवम् अवजानन्ति असूयवः गुरुं मां विप्रमात्मानम् अर्चादाव इज्जदृष्टयः। दुष्प्रज्ञा अविदित्वैवम् अवजानन्ति असूयवः गुरुं मां विप्रमात्मानम् अर्चादाव इज्जदृष्टयः। दुष्प्रज्ञा अविदित्वैवम् अवजानन्ति असूयवः मां विप्रमात्मानम् अर्चादाविजदृष्टयः। दुष्प्रज्ञा अविदित्वैवम् अवजानन्ति असूयवः गुरुं मां विप्रमात्मानम् अर्चादाविज्यदृष्टयः। दुष्प्रज्ञा अविदित्वैवम् अवजानन्ति असूयवः विप्रमात्मानम् अर्चादाविज्यदृष्टयः। मदजीज दुष्प्रज्ञा अविदित्वैवम् अवजानन्ति असूयवः मां विप्रमात्मानम् अर्चादाविज्यदृष्टयः। दुष्प्रज्ञा अविदित्वैवम् अवजानन्ति असूयवः गुरुं मां विप्रमात्मानम् अर्चादाविज्यदृष्टयः। वी रीड द वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। दुष्प्रज्ञा दोज ऑफ करप्टेड इंटेलिजेंस अविदित्वा फेलिंग टू अंडरस्टैंड एवं इन दिस वे अवजानन्ति नेग्लेक्ट असूयवः एंड बिहेव एनवियसली टुवर्ड गुरुम देयर स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर माम मी विप्रम द लर्नेड ब्राह्मण आत्मानम देयर ओन सेल्फ Archa Adau. In the visibly manifest deity of the Lord. Ijya. As being worshipable. Drishtayaha. Whose vision? Translation and translation of the subsequent shlokas by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation of verse number 55. Ignorant of this truth. Just for reference, we'll see the translation to the previous shloka. Even as my own four-armed form is no dearer to me than a Brahman. Within himself, a learned Brahman comprises all the Vedas, just as within myself I comprise all the demigods. So now, Lord Krishna is making a reference to this statement. Ignorant of this truth, foolish people neglect and enviously offend a learned Brahman who, being non-different from me, is their spiritual master and very self. They consider worshipable only such obvious manifestations of divinity as my deity form. Translation to verse number 56. Because he has realized me, a Brahman is firmly fixed in the knowledge that everything moving and non-moving in the universe and also the primary elements of its creation are all manifest forms expanded from me. Translation to verse number 57. Therefore, you should worship these Brahman sages, O Brahman, with the same faith you have in me. If you do so, you will worship me directly, which you cannot do otherwise, even with offerings of vast riches. Translated into shloka number 58. Sri Shuka said, so instructed by his Lord, with single-minded devotion, Shrutadev worshipped Shri Krishna and the topmost Brahmanas accompanying him. And King Bahulashva did the same. Thus both Shrutadev and the king attained the ultimate transcendental destination. Translation to shloka number 59. O king, thus the supreme personality of Godhead, who is devoted to his own devotees, stayed for some time with his two great devotees, Shrutadev and Bahulashva, teaching them the behavior of perfect saints. Then the Lord returned to Dwarka. Purport. In his narration of this pastime in the book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada concludes. So this is a quote. The instruction we receive from this incident is that King Bahulashva and Shrutadev, the Brahman, were accepted by the Lord on the same level because both were pure devotees. This is the real qualification for being recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because it has become the fashion of this age to become falsely proud of having taken birth in the family of a Kshatriya or a Brahmana, we see persons without any qualification claiming to be a Brahman or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. But as it is stated in the scriptures, Kalau Shudra Sambhava. In this age of Kali, everyone is born a Shudra. This is because there is no performance of the purificatory process known as Samskaras, which begin from the time of the mother's pregnancy and continue up to the point of the individual's death. No one can be classified as a member of a particular caste, especially of a higher caste, Brahman, Kshatriya or a Vaishya, simply by birthright. If one is not purified by the process of the seed-giving ceremony or Garbhadhan Samskar, he is immediately classified amongst the Shudras, because only the Shudras do not undergo this purificatory process. Sex life without the purificatory process of Krishna consciousness is merely the seed-giving process of the Shudras or the animals. But Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection by which everyone can come to the platform of a Vaishnava. This includes having all the qualifications of a Brahman. The Vaishnavas are trained to become free from the four kinds of sinful activities, which are illicit sex, indulgence in intoxicants, gambling, and eating animal foodstuffs. No one can be on the Brahminical platform without having these preliminary qualifications. And without becoming a qualified Brahman, one cannot become a pure devotee. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 86th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Arjuna Kidnaps Subhadra and Krishna Blesses His Devotees.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, before I speak a few words on this set of shlokas, I would seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees, especially His Grace Rasmandal Prabhu, who is senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and also all my friends and colleagues here, also all the senior devotees who are seated here. Here we are seeing how Lord Krishna is saying, ordinary people, they will respect only the obvious forms of divinity as my deity. But they don't appreciate the Brahmanas and the spiritual master, Gurum and Vipram, as it is mentioned in the shlokas. So, to have recognition of a special form is ordinary. And those with a special vision can see divinity in the ordinary. So the Supreme Lord has a form here in the form of a deity, and it is separated visibly from the rest of the temple hall. The altar is separate. So even an ordinary person, when he comes here, he sees, oh, this place is special, that form is special, and all the other forms on this side are different. And then everyone is offering a lamp in that direction to that person. So even an ordinary person can see that this form is special, but it takes special vision to see divinity in the ordinary way. So this is the struggle for all of us. Most of us, as Lord Krishna is mentioning, are oblivious of the obvious. What is a Kanishta Adhikari? As per the 11th canto it is mentioned, Archayam eva haraye shraddhaya pujam shraddhaya ihate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhaktaha prakritaha smritaha. So he is fond of worshipping only the deity, and natad bhakteshu, and the deity has some bhaktas, the deity has some devotees, those who are serving the deity. He is not careful about honoring them. And one more thing is, nacha anyeshu, also even those who are not devotees, he cannot see any divinity in them. There is nothing special about them. Everything else other than the deity is ordinary. So such a devotee is called a prakrita bhakta, which is coming from the word prakriti. So he cannot see divinity in prakriti, he is just an ordinary person. So he is called prakrita bhakta. Here we see how Lord Krishna, he was attracted. Lord Krishna attracts everyone. But Lord Krishna was attracted by these two devotees, Shrutadev and Bahulashwa, something like 2200 kilometers from Dwarka to Mithila. And then so many devotees have described how they have such wonderful qualifications. They were so much attracted and dedicated to the deities that they had in their homes, that actually they did not have any time to travel to Dwarka to take darshan of the Lord. So everyone, the saintly people, the sages would also sometimes travel to Dwarka to take darshan of the Lord. But these two devotees never traveled to Dwarka simply because they did not have time. Why did they not have time? Because the whole day they were engaged in serving the deity form. And this dedication, this sincerity in serving the deities attracted the Supreme Lord himself. But then, although they are pure devotees, that is, as is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada, they are pure devotees of the Lord, and that's why they attracted Krishna. But even amongst pure devotees, it is seen here that Lord Krishna sees something to be taught to them. So one immediate thing that we can learn is, no matter where we are, there is always something to be learnt more than that. They are pure devotees, they attract Krishna, but still, in their dealings, Lord Krishna sees, I have come here with all my sages, my devotees, who broke their rules of conduct. Usually sages in those days would not travel ever on chariots. They would always walk their way. But just by getting an invitation from Krishna, and Krishna was going on his royal chariot, but all the sages, they climbed on that chariot, breaking the rules of conduct. They said, oh, if we are getting association of Krishna. So they are great surrendered souls who broke the rules of conduct and in one way traveled in a very royal way on a horse driven chariot. So Lord Krishna wants to teach Shrutadeva and Bahulashwa, yes, I appreciate your love for me, and that's why you honored me, and that's why I also reciprocated by coming all the way from Dwarka to Mithila. But now I want to take you one notch higher. There's always that one notch higher. What is that? If you really want to serve me, if you really want to worship me, you cannot neglect those who have come with me. Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhaktas chate jana. Mad bhakta nam cha ye bhaktas, tam sa me bhakta tamamata. So Lord Krishna is saying to Arjun, those who claim to be my devotees are actually not my devotees. But those who are devotees of my devotees, they are the best of my devotees. So why would Lord Krishna make a statement like this? It's quite radical. Those who are my devotees are not my devotees. So, what does it mean to be a devotee? To actually dedicate yourself to the service of your deity. So, bhakti is very personal. We want to dedicate one and only one, the Supreme Lord, Deva Deva, Lord Krishna. But when we want to dedicate ourselves to one person, Can we dedicate ourselves to a person without knowing him in full? Because if I do not know somebody in full, how can I dedicate myself to him fully? There is something about him that I am not aware of. There is something about him that I do not know of. So to the extent to which I know about him, to that extent I could dedicate myself. But there is always something, if I do not know about him, I could not dedicate myself to him in that aspect. So it means, in one sense, although bhakti is personal, bhakti is simultaneously personal and social. How do you know a person fully? If I want to know one person fully, here is my friend here. So just by looking at his form, I know something about him. His rupa, I know. Probably I also know his nama. What about his guna and his leela? His activities and his qualities. In a mature way. Don't compare leela. You know, I am not comparing leela. Activities and qualities. Because Krishna is known fully, nama, rupa, guna and leela. So nama and rupa are easily available. What about guna and leela? So if we do not know guna and leela of a person, it means we have incomplete knowledge about him. So when is a person's guna revealed? If somebody is described as a kind person, oh, here is a kind person, but you have never ever heard of any incident about him in which his kindness was displayed. You do not know his kindness. For you, your understanding of kindness may be restricted by some incidents in your life. If somebody is introduced as a humble person, what do you know about humility? Our understanding of humility may be quite worldly. It might be quite prakrita. So what is humility is understood only when we hear about humility from exalted personalities who have displayed humility in all situations at all times. So if we, coming back to the point of knowing Krishna fully, when will we know Krishna fully? Yes, sometimes it is described, Haridas Thakur describes, especially in the age of Kali, because there is so much emphasis on Harinam, he says, Harinam is like a bird. The Harinam Chintamani describes this. Harinam is like a bird. And then as you go on chanting, the bud of Harinam opens. So then the rupa becomes manifest. So when the bud opens, slowly you can see the petals, you can see the color of the flower, and you can see the stamens and the inside the whole of the flower. And then as you go on chanting, the bud of the Harinam opens a little bit more. The first time, the fragrance escapes. Because now it has opened sufficiently. So that is the time when you can taste, understand the guna of the Supreme Lord. And then as you go on chanting more and more, the bud of Harinam opens fully to reveal the whole nama, rupa and guna and leela. But then, to chant the holy names with sincerity, to have that kind of commitment to the holy name, and that too, bahu janma kori yadi shravana kirtan, tabhuto na paye Krishna pade premadhan. If our chanting is riddled with offenses, where is the question of the bud of the Harinam opening up? So then we have Pancharatri ki process, deity worship, rules and regulations also to supplement the flowering of the bud of Harinam. So if we consider a sadhaka bhakta who is struggling with his offenses in chanting, it means all these other things will help. So, when we hear of Krishna Leela, then we understand how Krishna behaves with his devotees. So in the Leela, when we hear of the Leela, which is by itself very purifying, just by hearing the Leela, it is so attractive how Krishna is interacting with his devotees. But through those Leelas, we can understand his qualities. What is Krishna's mercy? So if we think of mercy, we would say mercy is something when you spare a person some punishment that he deserves. Some person has committed a crime, a mistake, and he deserves a punishment. By the rule books, he deserves to be punished. And somebody spares him, somebody pardons him. That is mercy. But when we read about Krishna's mercy, then we fall back. What is Krishna's mercy? Kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. Krishna's mercy is that, Not that he spared a person who had committed a crime. Krishna did not spare, Krishna gave the position of an assistant to Yashodamai to that person who had come to kill him when he was the most helpless child. Those were the days when Krishna did not have the strength to even turn his back. He was a helpless child. He could not even retaliate in the smallest way. So in the most helpless condition, when he could not even turn, when he could not even sit, what to speak of crawling and walking and fighting and doing everything else that he did later with the other demons. So he is completely helpless, and she comes in the most hideous form. She comes in the most cheating form. She comes as a mother. The mother is usually the person who gives life, and she came to take away his life. So here is Krishna, the most helpless, and she is the one who's trying to kill him in the most abominable way, in a form which is actually full of hope, which is actually, you look forward to your mother for life, for nourishment. And she is trying to do that. So here is the biggest contrast of somebody who is helpless and she is coming in the most evil form, if you could put it. And what did Krishna give to her? Yes, he dealt with the situation, because dealing with the situation is important. But then taking the essence that she had that desire to feed me milk, he gave her the position of a nourishment. So this is mercy now. Now this is your new benchmark of mercy. So this is how we will define mercy now. Somebody who is trying to attack you, somebody who is trying to kill you in the most unexpected way, and you give him the highest reward, seeing the good in that person. This is the new upgraded definition of mercy now. So that is why I mentioned that bhakti is personal, but it is simultaneously personal and social. How will you understand the different qualities of Krishna, 64 qualities of Krishna? For each quality, there is a pastime in Krishna Leela by which you can understand how he manifested that quality. And unless you understand Krishna fully, by not understanding, if you don't understand his guna without understanding his Leela, then you don't know Krishna fully. So if you don't know Krishna fully, how will you dedicate yourself to Krishna fully? It means, to understand a person, it is very important to understand the incidents of that person, his dealings, his interactions. So that is why Krishna, if you really want to understand Krishna fully, you cannot ever let go of his devotees. Why? Without his devotees, how will he interact? And if you do not interact, you will not know him fully. So in order to know Krishna fully, we should always arrange in such a way that Krishna comes closer to his devotees. And the more we facilitate Krishna coming closer to his devotees, the more Krishna gets a chance to manifest what he has in his heart in external dealings. The internal emotions get manifested, get a shape, only when they come out in the form of dealings. So it is mentioned, the gopis take great pleasure in uniting Radha and Krishna. They push Radharani towards Krishna. Why? Because when Radharani is there, then Krishna, in one sense, he is a complete fool, Om Purnamada, Purnamidam. But he becomes more fuller when he is with Radharani. The complete whole is incomplete without Radharani. And then when more gopis come, when more devotees, he becomes more fuller and fuller. The fullest becomes more fuller and fuller. So that is the meaning of, we are dependent on devotees to know Krishna. Not just in the sense of hearing from devotees, that devotees have so much to speak about Krishna. Not only in that sense, in the sense that when Krishna is together with his devotees, that is the time when he has leelas, that is the time when he has activities, and seeing those activities, seeing those reciprocations of love, we will understand Krishna better and we'll understand devotees better, and in this way we can upgrade ourselves more and more. In this sense, we are dependent on the association of devotees. One time Srila Prabhupada had gone to one function, and in that function there was just a photograph of Krishna singly. He was single. There was no devotee around. Usually we don't find that. At least there is a cow. Even when they do not have Radharani next to Krishna, there is a cow, there is a peacock, there is a probably a deer there. If not anything else, there is always a flute. But there was one photograph of Krishna where Krishna was without devotees, and Prabhupada said, this is the impersonalist conception of Krishna. That you rob Krishna, you separate him from his devotees. You want Krishna and only Krishna. Why does somebody want Krishna and only Krishna? And why would Prabhupada call it impersonalism? Well, in one sense, as I mentioned, the person becomes fully defined when he has association. So there have been instances where, when I was working outside, I was not in the ashram. Then, one time I came for the Sunday feast program and the deities were there. But then, most of the devotees whom I knew had gone on a yatra. It was Kartik time. Somehow I did not get a leave. And I still remember that day, I was actually feeling lonely in the temple. The Sunday feast was not the same Sunday feast. Why? Because there was all the devotees whom I would meet when I would come to the temple, none of them were there. All of them had gone. So Radha Gopinath, somehow I could not get the same experience. It was only when, then later the next Sunday I met the devotees, then my experience of the temple became full. So personalism is personal experience, but that personal experience is not complete unless it is a social experience. We cannot separate personalism from socialism. So when we talk that bhakti is personal, it does not mean it is only with one person. Personal means you develop a personal relationship with this person who is incomplete without his social circle. Why would the impersonalist want Krishna and only Krishna and they do not want anybody else? Because Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So if Krishna is the Supreme Lord and I want something from Krishna, who can give me? Krishna can give me. He is the most powerful person. So somebody who is in a wanting mood, then he is scanning. Who can give me? Is he? Oh, he is a Jivatma. He is a Jivatma. He is a Jivatma. Anu, Anu, Anu. Oh, that person is Vibhu. That person is the greatest person. Krishna is the greatest person. If I please Krishna enough, I can get what I want from him. Either materially or spiritually. Materially I can get riches from Lakshmipati, or spiritually I can get liberation. I can just merge into him. No more birth, no more old age, no more disease and no more death. So those who are in a wanting mood, they will always scan who has the power to give and who has not the power to give. And then I will selectively pursue a relationship only with the person who has the ability to give. What about a devotee? A devotee at least prays for the mood not to get from Krishna. Even if he wants to get, even if he is artha, he wants relief, even if he is artharthi, but he is taught, you give something, ye yathama prapadyante, Krishna will reciprocate. So you give something and Krishna will reciprocate. He is taught to give to Krishna. So when you are in the process of giving, if your mood is that of giving, then you do not scan for who is the greatest and who is not the greatest. Why? Because to give, if you actually start to give, you will realize there are many hands that are open in front of you to receive. Yes. It is only when you start to ask that the fists close. If you have something in your fists, in your palms, and you just go around, would you want it? You will see many fists, many palms that are closed, they actually open up. And then you see, when I'm in the mood of giving, there are many people here who are ready and eager to receive. So then you understand, it's not just my one-to-one relationship with Krishna. I cannot neglect the devotees of Krishna. So that's why only a devotee can be interested in the social aspect of personalism. A person who is eager to receive from Krishna cannot ever develop appreciation for the social aspect of the personal form of the Lord. I'm not interested in you. What can you do? You yourself have four defects. You are suffering from, you are bound by the three modes. It is only when I see that, no, here is a person who is dear to Krishna, and probably in his life, if I spend some time with him, Krishna has reciprocated with his seva. Sit with him. I ask him, what is your relationship with Krishna? He tells of some personal incident with Krishna. How he did, he went out of his way to serve Krishna. Krishna reciprocated with him. Then I understand Krishna better. So in this way, slowly, the Prakrita Bhakta, if he wants to become Madhyam Bhakta, not on the highest platform, just one notch higher, he actually has to graduate himself to the level where he comes to the level of appreciation of devotees. Not just in a very external way, just to maintain etiquette, it says that you offer namaskars at least mentally to a devotee. Not like that. He actually feels the need to Make a relationship with the devotee. Why? He knows this person, although complete, is incomplete without the devotees. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in one of the purports to 11th canto, mentions there are five primary forms of the Lord. Para, para means the original supreme Lord, Krishna. Swayam, Rupa. Then he says Vyuha. Vyuha means the four, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Niruddha. So that is Swayam, Prakash. The third form is the avatar. That is Swayam, Vaibhav. And then there is the Antaryami. Antaryami is the super soul who is resident in every heart. And the fifth form is the Archa form. So, one of our devotees, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he was comparing, he gave an analogy to understand. So he said, para form, the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, is like the cloud. The cloud is high up in the air. You know it's there, but it is inaccessible to you. So Krishna in the spiritual world is inaccessible to you. The second form is Vyuha, Vasudeva Sankarsana Pradyumna Niruddha. So he said, Supreme Lord, huge manifestation. So he compared it to an ocean. The ocean has a lot of water. So the water, moisture is in the cloud, but it is inaccessible to you. Water is also there in a visible form in the ocean, but it is salty. So in that sense, it is inaccessible to you. The third form is the avatar. Avatar descends at a particular time and then again winds up his pastimes after some time. So if you were not there when the avatar was there, you don't have access to him. So just like the river Saraswati, at one point of time it flowed, and then today we do not have access to river Saraswati. The fourth and the fifth form, the Antaryami and the Archa, they are always available to the conditioned souls in the material world. The first three forms are not available. So the Antaryami in the heart, the super soul in the heart, he is available, but he is not accessible to most people. So that is like groundwater. Deep within the ground there is water, but you and me will have to dig. It means we will have to do tapasya, we will have to meditate, dhyana yoga process. But the fifth form, the Archa form, a pure devotee installs and then you can worship him even after the pure devotee leaves this world. For all practical purposes, it is the gift of a pure devotee to the world. If you really maintain the deity properly, if you take care of the deity properly, he is there for thousands of years, unless there is some physical, an earthquake or something like that. So in one sense, the pure devotee of the Lord who came here for a temporary time gives a permanent eternal gift to the people of this world who are themselves temporary. So millions of people will come, take birth, take darshan of Gopinath, worship him, offer him a lamp, go back to the spiritual world, but Gopinath will stay here. In that sense, the Archa form is the most accessible and the most available form of the Lord. But he also mentions there is an hierarchy here. The para form gives rise to the Vyuha form. The Vyuha form gives rise to the avatara form. The avatara form gives rise to the Antaryami. And the Antaryami comes in the form of the deity. So that's why, because it is the most available form, the neophyte devotee is advised to start from the deity worship. So the most newest person, he comes and he says, oh, this is a special form, everyone is offering a lamp here, I should also offer a lamp here. So he is advised to connect to the lowest form, and if he connects to the lowest form properly, he gets upgraded to the Antaryami form, and in this way he can go higher. But it's not easy. Here Krishna is saying, most people are aware of the obvious forms of the divinity, that most people worship the deity form. Today, sadly, we are living in a time when people do not even have respect for the deity form of the Lord. So that is the most accessible and most available form of the Lord, the most beautiful form of the Lord. Even a dull child can appreciate the beauty of the deity. We have gone so low, sometimes people ask a question about deity worship also. Why do you dress the deity so opulently? Why are there so many nice arrangements for the deity? So we are really low. And that's why, if we really understand this pastime properly, that Krishna is upgrading even pure devotees like Shrutadeva and Bahulashva to an understanding, we are dependent on the devotees of the Lord. Please worship them as much as you do to me. This is the lesson that we could learn. Something which I would like to explain with the help of Srimad Bhagavatam is this example that comes very much fitting to this story, this current tattva that we are understanding is, when Daksha Prajapati walks into the yajna, in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam it is mentioned. So Daksha Prajapati is a bona fide Prajapati. He has been given that service by Lord Brahma, who is the representative of the Supreme Lord. And this yajna is a yajna to honor Lord Vishnu. And all the demigods, all the sages have assembled here. And when the yajna is about to start, Daksha Prajapati walks in, he's effulgent. He puts to shame the luster of everyone assembled there. Great demigods have assembled there. And two personalities fail to stand up. So one is Lord Brahma and one is Lord Shiva. So why does Lord Brahma not get up from his seat? Well, Lord Brahma is the father of Daksha Prajapati. So however great you are, your father may not stand up. So Lord Brahma does not get up. But Lord Shiva does not get up. And Daksha Prajapati sees it, walks to his seat and is about to sit down. But as he is about to sit down, he stops. He does not take his seat. And then he says, oh, just see the person sitting here. So when this pastime is started, Vidura, he is asking to Maitreya Muni, he said, I have seen that Lord Shiva is Shilatvam Shrestha. Of all the people who have Shila, character, who know etiquette, he is the most topmost. So he is the Shilatvam Shrestha. How could he get cursed by Daksha Prajapati? Please tell me this story. And then he describes by more words, Chara Chara Guru. Oh, this Lord Shiva is the Guru of everyone. Vaishnavanam Yathashambho. He is Nirvairam. He is Shanta Vigraham. It's difficult to agitate Lord Shiva. He is Atmaramam. And he is Jagato Daivatam. He is the best of the demigods. He got cursed. That too by his own father-in-law. Please tell me about this story. And then he mentions this story. So Daksha Prajapati before sitting, now he mentions how he got irritated by Lord Shiva. So first he says, just look at this beggarly dressed person. He does not even have the proper opulence to dress himself up. And here I am a Prajapati. Is he a match for my daughter? Somehow I made a mistake and I married my daughter to him. I should not have done that. But that's not the end. It starts from here. He just attacks his social position. Then he says, my daughter has eyes like a fawn, a female deer. And he has eyes like a monkey. He says, Markata Lochana. So, before starting to speak, when Daksha Prajapati is about to open his mouth, he said, oh, listen all the demigods and all the sages, what I am going to speak. And mind you, I am not speaking out of envy or ignorance. This is what Daksha Prajapati says. Main kuch bolne wala hoon, matsarya se nahi bol raha hoon main. Agyan se nahi bol raha hoon main. I know what I am speaking and it is objective perspective or objective opinion. This is my objective opinion. Please do not feel I am directing it towards only this person. So he starts, you know, as they say in Hindi, chor ki daadi mein tinka. Nobody told him, oh, you are speaking out of envy. But he understands I am speaking out of envy. So he says, mind you, I am not speaking out of envy and I am not speaking out of ignorance. I am a knowledgeable person. And then he says, he is a beggar. He does not know how to dress properly. And then he has eyes like a monkey. So this is the first symptom when you make personal attacks. If something has gone wrong, if somebody is behaving in an improper way, you speak about what is the improper behavior. You focus on what is wrong rather than on who is wrong. So he is now making, he didn't speak what actually irritated Daksha Prajapati. He is just speaking, look at him, he is not dressed properly. Look at him, he has the eyes of a monkey. And then he says, you know what he does? He spends time in a crematorium. He is always putting ashes of dead bodies all over his body. And his associates are the ghosts and the hobgoblins. He is an unclean person. He does not take a bath sometimes. So you know what? His name is Shiva. Shiva means auspicious. Actually he is a Shiva. He is the most inauspicious person. And this most inauspicious person has come to my sacrifice here, and look at him now, he has not dared. He has dared to not respect me. I am totally unhappy with this. And then his envy overflows out of that. Damodar Leela, we know that milk overflowed. So here is envy is overflowing. He even makes an attack on his own father, Lord Brahma, who is sitting there, saying, actually I was fooled by this Parameshthi. Parameshthi, the literal meaning of the word Parameshthi means the greatest teacher. But Lord Brahma is not just the greatest teacher, he is not just the person who starts the parampara, Brahma Sampradaya. He is Daksha Prajapati's own biological father. So Daksha Prajapati, at least you cannot call your father by his name. Is it not? You call father respect. So he is calling his father by his name, and that to what name he uses? He uses the name, he is the greatest teacher in this universe, and he is saying, this greatest teacher in the universe made a mistake by advising me to marry my daughter to Lord Shiva. So can you imagine how his envy is just bubbling and overflowing? And what is Lord Shiva's response? Lord Shiva's response is no response. That's the best response. Lord Shiva just keeps quiet. He does not speak anything. And Daksha, seeing that somebody does not respond, yes, as I mentioned, that is also a response. You become more infuriated. The good thing about hurting a Vaishnava will be when that Vaishnava retaliates. So if I hurt a Vaishnava and that Vaishnava retaliates, I am happy. You know why? Because that thing was settled there. The worst thing to happen in my life is if I hurt a Vaishnava and that Vaishnava keeps quiet. That is the beginning of the end. Why? Because if that Vaishnava keeps quiet, it means somebody else will become active. The Supreme Lord then has to take upon a person on whom is dependent for his leelas, then now he has to complete the leela. Yes? So somebody insulted the Vaishnava, then he completes the leela by punishing that person. But if the Vaishnava retaliates, good, nice. Because then the Supreme Lord says, okay, he settled the scores. So Lord Shiva, he is not just a Param Vaishnava in terms of his outreach, that he goes to the lowest people. He is a Param Vaishnava not only in his preaching, he is also a Param Vaishnava in his acharan. Achara prachara dui hai, is it not? Sanatan Goswami glorifies Haridas Thakur. Your prachar and achar both. So Lord Shiva, he does prachar to the lowest. He reaches out to the lowest. But his acharan is also like that. He just keeps quiet. And Daksha Prajapati, he curses. He's saying, whenever a yajna takes place, all the demigods get their share of the oblations. From today onwards, I curse. In any yajna, Lord Shiva will never get an oblation. So that's true. Whenever we do a yajna, you know, there is always an oblation to some demigod. Lord Shiva's name is never taken in a yajna. So it's very difficult to have this kind of behavior, but that is what Lord Shiva does. There was one time, one guest who had come to the temple. He was Indian born, but raised in the US. So he had this American accent. And whenever he would walk and interact with the brahmacharis in the ashram, he would always talk in English. So complete Indian body from North India, but he would only talk in English. So some of the brahmacharis, one time they were saying, you know, he's an Indian, why does he always talk in American English? I said, you know, that's how he's brought up. So one time one of my friends, he took him to a program. And somehow he took him by the local trains of Bombay. So then he was just shocked to see that whole crowd there. And then my friend, he told, okay, now we have to get down at the next station. But he is not seeing the station and he is not seeing the door from where to get down. It's all full with people. So then the train stopped. And then this brahmachari who is used to Bombay, he somehow squeezed his way out of the train. And this person, he just blurted out, "Hum neeche kaise utarenge?" So he spoke in pure Hindi. And this brahmachari, later he told me, I was so shocked. For the last 1 month, I never heard him speak one word in Hindi. He was only speaking English, that too in an American accent. And that day he spoke pure North Indian Hindi. "Ab hum neeche kaise utre?" In a moment of pain, in a moment of discomfort, you know, finally your reality comes out, yes? You squeeze a mango, mango juice comes out. You squeeze an orange juice comes out. So similarly, when you squeeze a neophyte devotee, neophyte behavior comes out. So Lord Shiva is teaching us, in that particular situation, he did not let go. But Daksha Prajapati, by offending a Param Vaishnava, then there is a series of incidents that happens. You can read about it in the fourth chapter, fourth canto, where finally he gets beheaded. Virabhadra comes, representative of Lord Shiva, and then he beheads him. And another side, just within maybe 30 seconds, just to give you a contrast. I really like the story of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, who is an ardent devotee of Lord Jagannath. He has dedicated his life to serving Lord Jagannath. But when he wants mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never ever lets go of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he understands Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. But how do you get mercy of the Supreme Lord? So he follows the path that Lord Krishna is mentioning today. He makes an appeal through the devotee, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Lord Chaitanya says, if you ever speak about this once more, I'll go to Alarnath. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is thinking, how to get this done? And he tells the king. The king said, I am ready to give up my position, I am ready to give up my riches, but please arrange for my meeting with the Supreme Lord. And then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is thinking, let me think about it. And then after some time, there is a Rath Yatra festival, Snan Yatra festival. So all the devotees from Bengal are coming to Puri. And this king makes the arrangements for their residence, for their prasad, and he also calls the temple superintendent. And this, we're just cutting it short. He tells him, whenever these devotees want to take darshan, they should never be stopped. So you make these three arrangements for the devotees. And this news goes to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I did not give darshan to this king, but this king has facilitated all that is possible in Puri for my devotees who are coming from Bengal. And then one more incident happens, that one of the subordinates of the king, Ramanand Rai, Lord Chaitanya meets him somewhere in South India, Kuvur, Rajamandri. And he requests Ramanand Rai, you are such a great devotee of the Lord, why are you engaged in all these political affairs? You come and we will discuss Krishna Katha. And Ramanand Rai comes back and he requests the Lord, I would want abstention. Please give me relief from my services. I have been called by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I just want to do that. What does the king reply? By that time the king has been rejected personally as a worldly man by the Lord. So is Ramanand Rai not a worldly man? The king is engaged in political affairs and the governor is not engaged in political affairs. He is engaged in political affairs. But he is accepted by the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now this is the test of envy. You and somebody else are in the same profession. You are doing the same service. One gets rejected because of doing that particular service. And another person is accepted and called from his services. Now you are very dear to me. You please come and spend time with me. How do you facilitate that? What does the king say? The king says, even though you have given up your service as a governor, I will still continue your salary. And you are very bhagyavan. You are very fortunate that you attracted the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He says, he actually gets up from his throne when he hears this and he embraces Ramanand Rai. You are so fortunate, I am not so fortunate, but one day in the near future, maybe in some lifetime ahead, I will also get the mercy of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya is observing, I rejected him, but he does not have envy for somebody else. He facilitated all these facilities for my devotees from Bengal. The third time, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya comes to him and says, please give him darshan. But this time, he does not ask for darshan. He says, okay, if you don't want to give darshan, at least give some cloth. This is the first time Lord Chaitanya accedes to that demand. He takes an old cloth used by himself, gives it to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Then Ramanand Rai feels for the king. And Ramanand Rai, fourth time now, he comes to Lord and says, please give darshan. He says, no, it's not possible. So he says, okay, at least I will bring the son of the king. And the son is non-different from the king. Romaharshan, Sutta. So he brings the son of the king and Lord Chaitanya embraces the son of the king. And as soon as he embraces the son of the son starts dancing. He says, Krishna, Krishna. And the fifth time, so all this while, we are speaking it in some seconds. But it is not some seconds. When this happened, months and months are passing. And every day the king is thinking, I am the only one who has not received the mercy of the Lord. People like Jagai and Madhai were also received mercy of the Lord. I am a sevak, Jagannatha sevak, but I did not get mercy of the Lord. How would you feel in such a situation? But still, hopefully, he goes on. And on the day of the Rath Yatra, when Lord Chaitanya sees him sweeping the street in front of the Lord, that is the time when Lord Chaitanya says, yes, he is genuinely a person who is not just interested in the deity, but is also interested in serving non-enviously the devotees of the deity. And that day Lord Chaitanya says, I will give him my mercy. And then we know how Pratap Rudra Maharaj received the mercy of the Lord. So it is only through the devotees that the deity is accessible. And if we continue to serve the devotees of the Lord, not just in an external formal way, but actually realizing our dependence, then Lord Krishna's advice to Shrutadeva and Bahulashva today will bear fruit even in our lives. So with these few words, I stop. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.